Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast this week. I'm your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast here on the Now Network and Now Radio for you live. Hallelujah. Father God, we bless you. Hallelujah. The perfect song was played to open this. This was not planned. But God, I thank you that we have a living Redeemer. Hallelujah, Lord God. I know that my Redeemer lives. So, Father, we bless you right now because you are a living God. Hallelujah. I thank you. Your anointing is present. I feel the glory of the Lord resting upon me even now, Lord God. Hallelujah. You have made your presence so available to us, Lord God, that all we got to do is just ask. All we got to do is just speak your name, Jesus, and you appear, Lord God, because you are so real. Hallelujah. And we want nothing more, nothing less but to know you. You are a living Savior, a living King, a living Redeemer. Hallelujah. And my soul doth magnify the Lord. I bless you, God. I thank you to hear your glory. You're going to speak to the hearts of your people on today. You're going to move in a way that is how you have set forth, how you have ordained, oh God, because you live. And because you live, Lord God, we can serve you, Lord God. Because you live, Lord God, we can bless your mighty name, Lord God. Because you live, Lord God, we can give you the glory, Lord God, and our lives will be blessed through it, Lord God. So I praise you. I magnify you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. I ask right now that you will answer questions that are rattling around in our heads, Lord God, and that you will meet needs, Lord God. I pray even now that it, not even because of our prayers, Lord God, but Father, because of the manifest glory of your presence of the living God, that bodies will be healed, financial situations will be resolved, family problems will be resolved, life will be given. Hallelujah. Life will be given, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord God. I thank you that you are opening up the portal of the Spirit unto us, Lord God, that we can come into your presence, Lord God, and we can bask in your glory, Lord God. We can know you. We can sup with you. We can lay at your feet, Father God, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ on today. Lord God, I bless you, and I thank you. And I know that somebody's going to receive a good report, Lord God, because you've already, hallelujah, you've already given us a good report. Now we're going to stand in agreement with what the word of the Lord is. The word of the Lord says you're healed. The word of the Lord says you are blessed. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord says you are prosperous. The word of the Lord says it's already fixed. The word of the Lord says no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Hallelujah. We just got to come into agreement and alignment with the word of God. We can come in agreement and in alignment with all kind of things. We come in agreement with in alignment with one another. We come in agreement and in alignment with, you know, things we read on social media or on the news or, you know, things we read in our favorite magazine articles or books and different things. But the only thing that has life is the word of the Lord. So we come in agreement with the word. God wants us to know his word. Because when you pray his word, he says, my word won't return to me void. Hallelujah. Jesus is the word. He had to show himself to the Father after he was buried, after he was crucified and killed and shed all his blood out and then buried. He then resurrects with power and presents himself to his Father. And he goes and shows himself as a living Savior. He's alive. He's living. So, Lord, we just thank you. We praise you on today, Lord God. And we know the promises of God in you are yea and amen. Hallelujah. I feel the glory of the Lord right now. I'm going to try to get into a small teaching segment that's going to lay the foundation for the next few series of teachings as the Lord may allow. I'm going to try to do this in a structured way if he allows, but all things we know we got to follow the Spirit. So if he goes a different route, it's because he knows who's listening. He knows who's listening and what you need and what you're thinking. Hallelujah. I'm nothing but a vessel. I told you on last week that a funnel can only pour out what's poured into it. So we can only pour out what God is pouring through us that you may receive. It is not about the vessel. We're not to be as containers. We don't contain things, but God flows through us. So you have to come on the line listening to hear the Spirit of God speak to your needs directly. It's not about the one that you hear my voice. I'm nothing. It's not about me, but it's about the Spirit of the one that is speaking to you. Hallelujah. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just invite your presence one more time. I humble myself one more time. I count it a privilege and an honor to serve you, Father. Because I am nothing without you, but with you all things are possible. So, Lord, have thine own way. In Jesus' name, All right, so I want to talk to you real quick today, and I know I always say real fast, real quick, and it ends up being, you know, taking a little while, but today I pray that I can, you know, honor my word and not be before you very long, but God knows all things. He knows who's listening and what your questions are. And one thing that I feel compelled to minister about is people need to know about God's righteousness. They need to know about God's righteousness, because we're in a day and time where there's so many different degrees of knowledge being brought forth, so many different teachings, so many platforms that now everybody has a voice. Anybody can get on, you know, on the internet and do a YouTube video or Periscope, or they can get on Facebook and put all of what they want you to know out there. Anybody can, you know, stand on the street corner and say anything. It's so easy nowadays. The world is so connected, and information travels at light speed, literally. You know, the Bible said that in the last days there would be an increase of knowledge, but it did not say there would be an increase of truth. In fact, Jesus said, I need you to listen real good. Put away your distractions. Listen real good. Jesus said that the end times there would be many false Christs and false prophets arise. He said there would be all kinds of deception. When they asked Jesus what would be the sign of his coming, not the day of his coming, but the sign, they said, what would be the sign? What do we look for? The first answer Jesus gives them, Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus says, take heed that no man deceives you. He doesn't talk to them about signs in the heavens. He doesn't talk to them about wars and rumors of war. He doesn't talk to them about all the different astronomical signs that are going on in the stars for the stargazers. He doesn't tell them all these different things to look for. He simply says, take heed that no man deceive you. So the first thing he's telling them to pay attention to is deception. In other words, there's going to be a lack of truth in these days. In the last days, when you start seeing all the lies that are being perpetuated in our time and in our day, then you got to know that Jesus is soon to return. But he wants to return for a ready people, and we got work to do. We've got a lot of work to do to get ready and to stay ready, to be ready and to stay ready. Okay, so he said there's going to be he's letting us know explicitly there's going to be a time of great deception in the end. Yet, in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, God tells the prophet, I'm not going to read these things verbatim. You can read it on your own. It's chapter 12, around about verse 4. God told the prophet who saw the end times way back in the Old Testament, before, you know, Jesus has even stepped on the scene. He tells Daniel, he says, in the end times, he said, look, he says, it's going to be a time where information or knowledge will be increased. Knowledge will be increased. But he says many will run to and fro. Why are they running to and fro? Because they're running back and forth from this one to that one, from here to there, from conference to conference, from church to church, from seminar to seminar, from religion to religion, from doctrine to doctrine. They're tossed and driven, but they're looking for something. They're trying to be established in the present truth. They're trying to be established in the present truth. And so that means we have to have an ear to hear. And then we have to know who God is anointing to teach in this hour, because everybody is not anointed to speak into your life. Everybody's got a voice. Just turn your phone on and scroll through your social media. Everybody's saying something that seems right to them. But who has the mouth of God? Who is God speaking to for a generation? That's what we need to listen for. It ain't the person, but it's the sound that's coming through the person. That's what we got to understand. The trumpet makes no noise on its own. Somebody's got to put their mouth on it and put something in it to make it come out, a sound come out for you to hear it. Vice versa. God, you know, God is the source, and he has preachers. And he has preachers that are going to give you the word that God wants you to grow by. He's going to give you what you need. Now, we are in a day where there's so much knowledge bombarding us that you got to be very keenly aware of the voice of God now. See, the voice of God, you got to check the frequency. You got to check your hearing, because the frequency of the voice of God is so fine-tuned that we've got to tune in now. We've got to tune in to hear what the Lord is saying, because there's so much coming at us in this time. So we're in a time of deception, yet knowledge is increased. But we need to know the truth. And with this increase of knowledge, it's bringing about some things that need to be addressed. So I'm laying the foundation for the next few weeks that I believe the Lord will lead to teach on several different topics that are all encompassed in this. But we need to know the righteousness of God. We need to know the righteousness of God, because what is happening is the enemy is coming to deceive. And let me tell you something about deception. He's not coming at us as, I'm the devil. No, that's not how he comes. He comes subtly. He's going to come with whatever it takes to get you out of the righteousness of God. In the beginning, when God had Adam and Eve in the garden, God gave them one commandment. This is how good God is. He didn't give them 600 commandments. He didn't give them a whole laundry list, a book. He gave them one thing. One thing. One thing. He said, look, you can have everything in this garden, just don't touch that one tree. Y'all know the story. Let me tell you something. Man narrowed his viewpoint from everything God gave him. He narrowed it on down to looking at one thing. I need you to hear this revelation in this. He narrowed his viewpoint from all that God gave him to look at one thing, and that's what brought in destruction and sin. Okay? But God told Adam and Eve, he said, you got every tree in the garden is at your disposal. I'm paraphrasing, not word for word. You know, he said, thou mayest freely eat of all the trees in the garden, but of the tree that is in the midst, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. That's what he said. Okay, he told them, if you eat. But before that, he gave them permission. In other words, they could have spent all of eternity learning of all of the different things God had given them. He only gave them one restriction. But that one restriction took them into a whole other world of a whole lot of other stuff. Listen to what I'm saying here. Man narrowed down his viewpoint. He stopped looking at what God gave him and began to look at what God told him you can't do. Now, that's human nature. We always want to go against the grain because that's just human nature, and we got to have our minds renewed. Now, watch this. God gave man one commandment, one, just one. Understand how good God is. He didn't restrict man from nothing but one thing, and man failed God and went another way, right? Now, when I say man, I don't just mean the man. I mean both of them. It was the man and the woman. So mankind as a whole, they made a choice. She went and he followed, and they both made the same decision. And the Bible says the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. So both of them uncovered themselves and uncovered each other. So it wasn't, no, he did it, she did it, or he could have stopped her, or she shouldn't have done it. No, it was both of them. It was a decision, and that shows you that if you're male or female, you have you're prone, or you know, you have a bent towards human nature, which is evil, and God got to renew your mind. And the only way he can do that is through the blood of Jesus first. Then you get an understanding of the word. So we got to get back to preaching the righteousness of God. Where is the righteousness of God found? It's in the person of Jesus. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast. We're here to preach Jesus to you above all things, above everything. Well, last week I spoke on holiness. The week before that we spoke on holiness. The holiness of God is God set apart. He's set apart, and he wants his people to be set apart. That's holiness. But the righteousness of God is God said, I accept you. I accept you. Because if we come to God unclean, standing in his presence, he's got to do something about it. He's either going to consume you or he's going to clean you. You need to understand that. There's two demonstrations of the Holy Spirit. He's showed as living water, and he's showed as a consuming fire. Water will cleanse you, but fire will consume you. And what God wants to do is consume all of the sin, that there will be a clean you left standing at the end of it. That's why we get the water baptism before the fire baptism. All right, so let me get into this. The righteousness of God. The righteousness of God cannot be obtained through any measure of human will, human intellect or any physical human thing that we can do, a human strength, human intelligence, it cannot bring you, human righteousness cannot bring you into the righteousness of God. It cannot, okay? The righteousness of God, the holiness of God is his work. He sets you apart. He gives you a spirit that's holy until you be holy. That means all you got to do is obey. And we struggle with obedience, if we be honest, even with that. You know, none of us say we perfectly obey, but the goal is to get to perfect obedience. That comes through practice. That comes through practice. But then we got to know what to obey. What are we to obey? We got to know the spirit of the Lord. So I said, we start with the blood. If you're not blood washed, then this message don't even apply to you. The only thing I can tell you is Jesus Christ is Lord. He suffered, he bled, and died on a rugged cross and was buried, and they thought that was the end of him. But after 3 days, he broke forth out of the grave with your redemption in his hand. I know my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Watch this. God is looking for his righteousness. The Bible declares, seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things, these things will be added unto you. So whatever we need, we don't seek those things. We seek God. We seek God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Never says seek your own righteousness. Never, never, because you don't have enough righteousness to stand before a holy God that has no unrighteousness. The Bible says in him there is no unrighteousness, none. Now in us, we can't say that. We can't truly say there's no unrighteousness in any of us. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how set apart you are. There's still something about you that is not quite as perfect as God himself is. So when you stand next to him, you're going to find something about you that's needing improvement. This is why we need his righteousness. In other words, righteousness is a garment. Hallelujah. There's a garment called righteousness. Hallelujah. There's a garment called righteousness. We got to know the precepts of God, precept upon precept. God teaches precept upon precept, line upon line. I'm just flowing in this thing. You got to look past the vocal cords that you think you hear and tap in and tune in to see the frequency that is coming from. Hallelujah. Because God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. So Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. So we got to tune into the frequency of his voice. Jesus' voice is not restricted to just a heavenly being speaking to you from heaven. Understand, he said that the Holy Ghost will be in you, a well of life. He will be in you. So the Holy Ghost that's in heaven is the same Holy Ghost that's down on the inside of the belly of the believers. When you're full of the Holy Ghost, then there's nothing coming out of you that's defiled. But the Spirit of life speaks. Watch this now. The righteousness of God. Many now are being tossed and driven through knowledge. They're being tossed and driven as waves of the sea or tossed with the winds of doctrine. The Bible says that we be not any more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Wind, the wind will, you take a piece of paper and on a windy day and let it go, and it's going to go about this way and about that way, and it's all over the place, and it can't be settled. But when you've settled on the word of God, then you know what God has said and what God is saying, and you're going to stand firm in the place of his righteousness. Now, with this tossing and this drivenness that people are going through with all this knowledge and information and all this falsehood that's floating around, a lot of people are getting tangled up and sucked back into trying to obtain righteousness in a place they can't get it from, the law. And I spoke on this the last couple of weeks a little bit, but there's so much to it that it can't be done in one message. It's a complicated subject, and it takes a specialist to know how to break this thing down. Let me explain something to you real quick. When you go to the doctor, you got your general, doctor, your family practitioner. You got your regular doctor. But if you got something going wrong with your body and you need something to be removed out of you or, cut and sutured back up a certain way, he's going to refer you to what's called a surgeon or a specialist, somebody who specializes in dealing with that thing there, okay? There are different degrees in the callings that God places upon people in the body of Christ. But there's only one body. Everything we have and everything we do should be for the furtherance and betterment of the body of Christ, not for our own self agenda. We don't have no agenda except the kingdom agenda. I want you to just say that out loud. Kingdom agenda. Speak it in the atmosphere. That's all we here for. It's not to grow anything of our own. The body supplies itself. When you eat, in the natural, everything that you take in is supposed to help build your body and strengthen your body because, you're taking care of yourself. Well, Christ, who designed the body, you think he's not going to take care of himself. He's going to put the different things in the body that it needs. So the body needs a certain level of teaching to flush out a lot of this false stuff that's driving people, tossing people to and fro. Watch this now. I'm going somewhere with this. So I said, you have doctors and specialists. There are specialists. It doesn't matter how much you think you know or what you may know your body well, but if you find something is wrong with your particular body, the body you live in, your flesh body, touch yourself, touch your chest and say, I'm talking about myself. If you have something with you that needs work and you go to the doctor and he diagnoses you and tells you you need surgery, don't matter how smart you are, how good you are, whatever you think about yourself, if that surgery is mandatory and you got to have it to remove something that's wrong with you and it's complicated, there may be some nerves that's got to be, cut and reattached. They may have to go and do some microscopic surgery on a level that your natural human eye can't see. In other words, there's some things that God will raise up people to teach that may sound a little off to you because it go against what you've been hearing all these years, or it go against the traditions of man, or it go against your own understanding that's not rooted in the righteousness of God. And you got to learn to just sit through it. And then it takes time to heal. Sometimes the word is going to cut you like surgery. It's going to cut some stuff out of you that don't need to be, and it's going to reattach some stuff that should be and put it back together. And after a while, it's going to heal itself over. Understand what I'm saying today? Hallelujah. Watch this. So God has to cut us open, take some things out of our thinking, take some things out of our spirit. He has to cut us open, but his intent is never to harm us. God's intent is always good. I told you earlier how good God was. He gave man everything except one thing. Man was so bad that he said, I don't want everything. I want yours. Give me yours. So God is good. So the object is usually not what God is keeping from us, but it's our focus. We set and focus on the wrong things, and that's what brings about confusion and problems. But anyway, that's a whole other message. Let me get back on track here. Somebody said, he's all over the place. Well, it's a whole lot of people listening that got a whole lot of thoughts that are all over the place. And the Holy Spirit will deal with what you're thinking and where you're at. He will speak to all of us where we at. So sometimes you got to go down the side roads and get those people and put them back on the main road. Hallelujah. Watch this now. God knows what he's doing. So I said you have specialists. Some things are complicated. Surgery is complicated. I mean, if you've never done it and you don't know what you're doing, then you can't get in there cutting on folks. You'll kill somebody. You'll mess somebody up. You can't just get in there cutting on folks. But God has people that he's anointed. See, everything we have and everything we can do in the body is about by the anointing. If you anointed to play the trumpet like nobody else. That's what God anointed you to do. If you anointed to dance, dance like nobody else. Dance like David danced. Somebody said that ain't biblical. It is biblical. He said, pray them in a dance. Now, it's got to be holy. It's got to be pure, and your spirit got to be right. But there's a dance ministry. Some people fight against that because they've seen the perverted version of it. But God has, there's a dance ministry. You can dance can be a silent worship. If your anointing is to draw or to paint or to do graphics, then be the best at it and do it for the glory of the Lord, that the kingdom will benefit from it, that somebody else in the kingdom will benefit. If you're a writer, if you're a speaker, a teacher, a prophet, whatever, an apostle, and your job is planting churches, then be the, do it unto the Lord and plant those churches because somebody needs the church in that center, that they need that center, not sinner, S-I-N-N-E-R, center, C-E-N-T-E-R. Somebody wants to do a center. You want to start some kind of life center. That's your green light. Hallelujah. Listen, They need that in their community. Hallelujah. Those things are needed. So if God has given you an apostolic mandate to build, you may not oversee everything you build if you are truly operating in the apostolic. See, he's got me moving on this now. If you're operating in the apostolic, God might have you plant something and somebody else water it. But if we got our own agenda, then we're not in the kingdom agenda, then our works are going to be tried by fire. Hallelujah. My God today. He said that one plant, one waters, and God give the increase. Whose increase is it? It's God's increase. Now, let me get back off that side road and get back on the main road. I was talking about surgery and went there, but listen, whatever God has given you to do, it's by the anointing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You don't let me forget where I'm going with things, Lord. Hallelujah. It's by the anointing. So whatever you're anointed to do is for the body. We can't operate in anything we're not anointed to do. I'm anointed to teach this Bible. This is what, if you never heard me say it, you heard me say it today. This is what God has told me to do. So this is where the revelation comes from. This is where, because I didn't go to school for this. I didn't figure this out. God gave me this. I can't take it away. It's there and it's imparted a mandate on my life. There's probably more things I'm anointed to do, but this is my focus at this particular moment. We're exalting Jesus. And this is Bible study. Now, God gives
testing 1, 2, 3. Minister Sir Ryan. All right, we're going to play some music. He'll be coming back on. Hold on 1 second.
Falling in love with Jesus. Ooh, falling in love with Jesus.
I was enjoying that song. Praise God. Can y'all hear me? Hallelujah.
Yes, we can. Yes, we can.
All right. I don't know where we left off, but Holy Ghost knows, so I'm just going to flow. Hallelujah, Lord. We bless you. Just going to continue to move on. Hallelujah. As I was saying, what we do in the body is for the body. It's one cause, one body. Hallelujah. One Lord. So it's one kingdom. Let me tell you something. When God speaks kingdom, he speaks of one kingdom. When Jesus spoke and he taught his disciples, go look it in your Bible. He always speaks of one kingdom. But when Satan comes on the scene, he speaks of many kingdoms. Many kingdoms. He offers Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus turned it down because he already understood there's a kingdom that's going to swallow up all these little mini kingdoms. I got something bigger on the inside than what you're trying to offer me, and you got it too. Hallelujah. So watch this now. There's one kingdom, one Lord, one cause, one body. This is what we're anointed for. So whatever God has anointed you to do, it's for the body. It's for the body. Okay? So there are specialists. There are those who are anointed to do something that you may not be anointed to do, but it's for you. If you're anointed and you're good with money and I'm not, then your money anointing might be something I need in my life. I can't get jealous of you and try to step in your lane. If I'm anointed to teach this Bible and you're not, then you got to hear what God is saying through the anointed vessel, or vice versa. If this person is anointed to sing and you're not, we don't have to compete and try to be anything we're not. God is the one who chooses and gives based on his anointing. He gives based on him. He says, I think this person is going to do good at this job. I'm going to give him this job. We have to let people be in what God has called them to. Because God wants to bring healing in the body. He wants to bring unity and oneness. And he's working that, and he's going to do that. He's going to have that at the end of the day, whether we in it or not. So we got to line up in the righteousness of God. Now, back on to the main street of this message, the righteousness of God. And I'll be done shortly. Many are getting caught up and carried away trying to establish their own righteousness. But I want to read some scripture to you. I don't like to verbatim the scripture because we should already know it. We should be studying to show ourselves approved already. But just in case somebody says, well, I don't agree with that preacher. This is one of the biggest problems we got in the body of Christ right now. Everybody got their own revelation now. Folk don't have ears to hear like they need to, and this is where a lot of this falsehood is coming from. This is because everybody's an expert now. Everybody's got a voice now, but the devil is a liar. God picks and chooses the specialist. God says, I'm going to be the one to give you your degree. You can go to seminary. You can get all kind of hands laid on you. You can be around all the who's who and all that, and God said, I never chose that person. Understand something. It's the oil that makes the difference. David had all his brothers. They wanted to be anointed. And the prophet was getting ready to pour oil on him, and God said, I refused him. Nope, I refuse him. Nope. And the one that nobody thought was chosen for the job was the one that was out back with the sheep. And God said, that's the one. Bring him in. Put the oil on his head. So it's the oil that makes the difference. We got to recognize the oil before we go to having these little secret committees and secret meetings and, well, I see it this way. Well, nobody asks how you see it. You got to hear what God is saying. We got to get to hearing the voice of the Lord. Watch this now. I'm going to read this scripture because a lot of people have their little committees. You know, the preacher's preaching. You go to church and God set the pastor over the house. Let me say this. If you go to a church and you disagree with everything the pastor say, leave that church. Just leave. Do yourself a favor because one of two things is going on. Either the pastor ain't called of God and he's off, or you off and you need to not be there. Because you're not throwing things off. So we can't do that, sit up and have our little committees with, I don't see it that way, da, 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 da. Yeah, the preacher's going to miss something sometimes. They're human. But at the end of the day, we're supposed to have ears to hear and listen for the Spirit. That's why I went through all that at the beginning about fine-tuning into the frequency of the Holy Ghost. So you already know that when it's him speaking, you recognize the authority of his voice talking to you. Don't matter if he's talking through a donkey or if he's talking through a two-year-old, you recognize the Holy Ghost. But we get to living in flesh. Well, yeah, man, just like I am. Yeah, but it's an anointing on that person. You got to be careful. I don't know who somebody. We got to be careful what we're saying, and we don't know what we think we know. You can judge things on level 3 that's happening on level 7 until you get to level 7 and find out, oh, it was just how I thought it was. So you got to be careful. And then you don't always know where people are. I didn't mean to take this term, but somebody needs to know this. So the word says, how can they hear without a preacher? It also says, how can they preach except they be sent? If you don't believe they sent, then don't sit under them. Don't listen. Don't call in on this line. Some people calling in and just a fault find. Not just this message, but, you know, Mondays and Wednesdays too and Fridays. And y'all know, but if you're not growing, then move on. Go where you can grow. I'm not in this for numbers, for fans, or anything. I got a mandate and a job to do, and I'm going to say what God give me to say, and I'm going to get out your way. Hallelujah. Watch this. Back to God's righteousness. Galatians chapter 3. The Galatian church was rebuked by Paul the apostle. Paul knew who he was. He knew who he was, and often he would tell them, you know, in the opening of his letters, I, Paul, an apostle by the will of God, not by flesh. Got to keep telling people who he was. He had to because people were having those little committees. They would say, oh, he writes strong, but when you see him, he ain't nothing. Da, da, da. Because they don't know the difference between the anointing and a flesh person. We got to be careful. I keep saying that. Somebody going to say the wrong thing. Help them, Jesus. Watch this. Because we can't discern, and that's sad, but God's going to talk to you. Watch this. Paul was writing and telling the people, and he began to chastise the Galatian church all throughout the book of Galatians. And he began to tell them some things because they were caught up and bewitched. And he asked them in the first verse of chapter 3, he says, oh, foolish Galatians. He chastised them, called them foolish. He said, who have bewitched you? Who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Obedience. We want to obey. We got to know the right thing to obey. The truth. Now, here's the truth. Verse 13, chapter 3, he says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Notice something that Paul is telling them in this verse. He's clearly letting them know the law has a curse. A curse. Now, what is he really talking about when he talks about a curse? The law we know is good, right? The law God gave the people was to show them, be ye holy as I'm holy. Do what I say. Yet he's saying, in comparison to the person of knowing Christ the person, he's saying that can't do you any good now. You got to be into the Lord. The Lord. Many are trying to go back into the law, this Hebrew movement, this black Hebrew stuff, and people are trying to bind other people up if you don't, you know, worship on the Sabbath and all this stuff, when that's not what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That's what they're saying. And we got to know the Spirit. We got to know the voice of the Lord, and we got to rightly divide these scriptures to know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to a people. Watch this. Watch this. He told them that if you in Christ, you redeem from the curse of the law. Redeem from the curse of the law. The next verse he says that the blessing. So who I want the blessing. Y'all can have the curse, but I want the blessing. I don't want the curse. If you want it, go after it. He said that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, not through the law. So he's talking to the Gentile people. Paul understood who he was sent to. He understood his mandate. He says, listen, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So it's the Spirit that makes everything possible for us. But notice what he says, it's through faith, and it's a promise. It's a promise. It's not through your works. It's not through, you know, you trying to keep the law or trying to be righteous in and of yourself. Now, somebody asked the question, and I get asked this question a lot, and I deal with people a lot on this thing, this Sabbath thing. Some folks, you know, well, that's not necessarily the law of Moses. God told them about keeping the Sabbath. He did. And so people ask me about the Sabbath all the time. I got people in my family, a couple of people, they ask about the Sabbath. Well, is keeping the Sabbath bad? No. But can it save you? No. Did Jesus tell you to do it? That's the question to ask. Is Jesus calling you, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus that suffered, bled, and died, and resurrected, and we play the song, I Know My Redeemer Lives, that Jesus that's a living person, is he talking to you saying, thou shalt keep the Sabbath? Is he really saying that? Do you know him that well? If you don't, then you already got a problem because you're not in the righteousness of God now. There's a garment that he wants to place on you when you know him that says you are clothed in his righteousness. Watch this. Because we can't approach God in our own cleanliness. Watch this now. The Bible says we enter into his presence, into the presence of the holiness of his, excuse me, into the presence of the holiest through his blood. His blood. I need you to hear this. The blood of Jesus is our everything. The blood carries the Spirit. For the Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. So the life of the flesh, the life of the body is in the blood. The blood. It's all in the blood. He gave his life. He gave his blood for us. Right? We are called the one body, the body of Christ or the body of believers, the church, the called out ones, the ecclesia. We are the called out ones, the holy ones. I'm talking to saints now. So we're one body. What's the life source? It's the blood. It's the blood of Jesus. When we get in heaven, we're going to have to stand in the heavenly courts and make our plea. And I don't know about nobody else, but I'll give you this for free. I'll plead the blood. The young generation came up with their own revelation, and they said that ain't good enough. They said pleading the blood is like begging. Well, they ain't get the revelation the old folks got, but God showed me them old folks wasn't crazy. They knew what they was talking about. So we gotta show honor where honor's due. Hallelujah. Watch this now. The blood. The Bible says that the New Testament is in Jesus' blood. So if we're going to have anything with God, we got to start with the blood. Nothing wrong with going back and checking to make sure you're really under the blood. The blood. The blood. We're getting close to Passover. Watch this. God told him, he said, when I see the blood, I will not allow the destroyer to come upon your house. But he told them something. He told them in Exodus chapter 12, when he told them to cover the doorposts of their homes in the blood of the Lamb. This was symbolic of Jesus, what Jesus would do for us. He told them this. He said, look, not only put the blood over your home that night when the destroyer passes through the land of Egypt. He's going to smite all the firstborn of Egypt, both of the beast and the people. He said, I'm gonna smite the firstborn. And he said, any house that doesn't have the blood, I'm going to smite. But he said, if I find the blood, then I'll pass over. But then he told him a second instruction, stay in the house. In other words, you got to stay under the blood. It's a possibility that you can step out of the blood covering. And then you're on your own. Well, I want to stay at my friend's house. They ain't got no blood over the doorpost. Well, you're in trouble. The same judgment that comes on that house now is a part of you. You get what I'm saying? So we got to stay in the blood. That means you can't let people sway you, influence you to believe these doctrines that's pulling you out from under the blood. If the blood is not your covering, what is? Adam and Eve, when they sinned against God, the Bible says that they tried to hide themselves and sew fig leaf aprons to cover themselves. They took the fig leaves to make aprons to cover themselves, but God covered them. God did it, not man. He didn't accept their covering because it wasn't enough. He said, I still see your unrighteousness. I still see what you did, but I got a way to cover you that I can look at what I put over you and say I accept you. Righteousness, God's righteousness. Watch this. This is the last little part I'm going to do here, I believe. God's righteousness. So he said, I'll cover you. I'll cover you. Then we find Jesus stepping on the scene, and he cursed the fig tree. In other words, I don't got time for your religion. I don't got time for your righteousness, but you got to get into my righteousness. Then I'll make you holy. Then you'll walk in the way. Then you'll walk in the way of holiness. But you got to, you know, that fig leaf religion, dead religion, it can't do you nothing. That's what the fig leaves, the fig tree and all that's about. God said, I'm putting an end to dead works, religion, all these religious systems and ceremonies and customs that you think you can approach me by. When I said I gave my blood for you and you said this stuff's more important, no. Oh, foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you would not obey the truth? The law cannot save you. Now, it's the Lord himself, and we got to know him. Hallelujah. And we've got to recognize when he's speaking and who he's speaking through. This is a time that is dangerous. It's dangerous to be listening to any and everybody. And God holds us responsible and accountable for recognizing his voice. He says, my sheep know my voice. So if the person that you're listening to is off and you don't discern it, God says, it's on you because you listen to a stranger. But if they pouring out the truth and you won't receive it, he says, it's on you because I'm not going to leave you without a witness. I'm not going. He says, hey, I gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Are you a saint, a called out one, a holy one? And I want you perfected. I'm going to give you what you need. It's up to you to use it, to receive it, to grow by it. Hallelujah. And with that, I'm about to end this. But the righteousness of God is God's way of justifying us, not us justifying ourselves. Does that mean we don't do anything right? Does that mean we just do anything goes? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's why I said this is foundational. It is complicated. Surgery is complicated. You can't just jump in there and boom, it's done like that. And, you know, no, things are complicated, and we don't get simple answers for complicated questions. We want them, but this is why God says, I'll give you the teachers. This is why God says, I'll give you the prophets. This is why God says, I'll give you these things because I know what you need to hear, but you got to have an ear to listen. Hallelujah. So if God wants his people in his righteousness, he wants to clothe you. He wants to cover you because he knows that you're going to miss something. You can't cover yourself enough. You ain't strong enough. You can't keep enough laws. You can't be good enough. None of us. This is why Jesus came himself and says, I'll give it to you in my blood. In my blood. So the blood covers us. We've got to stay under the blood. Don't let these people subvert you with these good teachings and doctrines. Let me leave with this last thought. This last little bit right here. Some doctrines will take you so far and it seems good, and then all of a sudden you hit a wall and you're stuck. And it's like you just can't get past it. See, the devil's number one tool in today's society is false doctrine. That's why the devil don't want people to deal with doctrine in the church. He just wants us jumping, bucking, shouting, running, doing fundraisers and programs and everything else, but we don't know God. And he said, God said, I want you to know this truth. I gave you 66 books. I gave you the preachers that know what they're talking about. And it's up to you to hone in and listen. Now watch this. The devil uses these doctrines to get you trapped. Watch this. Most denominations and doctrines got enough truth in it to get you so far, but then you get stuck. It's like a maze. It's like being in a maze. You go down in a maze, and you can go so far, and then you hit that spot, and you got to turn around and go back to the starting point and then try another route. But the Holy Ghost is like that one route on that maze that leads you from beginning to end. The Holy Ghost will lead you and direct you into all truth, not part truth, not the truth you agree with, not the truth you like, not the truth that's not bitter. He's going to give you some bitter truth. That's why some people say, oh, he sound mad when he preach. No. That's just passion. But the Holy Ghost, he's going to give you the truth that tastes bitter sometimes, it tastes sweet, but he's going to give you all truth and lead you to where you need to be to get what you need to receive so that you don't err along the way. The Bible even says in the way of holiness, that way is set apart. He says in the way of holiness, even the fools won't even err in that way. So you ain't got to be intelligent or brilliant to get it. You just got to have ears to hear. Hallelujah. Watch this. When you go through that maze, and you pick that right path and follow it all the way through, at the end of the maze, you come out on the right side, and you didn't get hemmed up in the middle, stuck somewhere and frustrated and stagnated, but when you got the truth. So this is what happens is people get those doctrines, and they'll take you into so much truth, but then next thing you know, it's a roadblock. It can't go no further. It can't give you any more proof, and this is what's happening with a lot of these movements, and you're going to see more and more falsehood coming up in the days to come because we're in the end time, and Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. So it's coming through people. This is coming through all types of people, but we have to really begin to focus on our relationship with God. If anything that we're learning or we're being, you know, inundated with, even if it's sitting in the house of God or if it's in your Bible study groups or whatever, if it's taking your focus off Jesus, the person, then it's a problem because he's the one that shed his blood for us. He's the one that, although he shed his blood and died, the Bible says he that died and yet liveth. He's the one that lives. He's the living God, and he will show up when we're gathered together in his name. So I know my Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. And we're covered in the righteousness of his blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. I have no more to say. Lord, I bless you. I pray that you will just cause us to have ears to hear what thus saith the Lord, Lord, and just use us throughout the week, Lord God. This week that we will be soul winners. This week that we will heal the sick, Lord God. We will cast down strongholds and cast out devils. Whatever you have for us to do, Lord, we will have miracles received, Lord God. Financial miracles. Somebody needs money, Lord, bless them, Lord God. Look, even though they won't ask, they're ashamed to ask, Lord, I pray right now you are blessed. Hallelujah. I pray right now that the portals of heaven will be opened and that intercessory prayer will go forth, Lord God, with more power and strength, Lord God, with more clarity, and then we will see things in the spirit even more than we have before, Lord God, and you will trust us with those things. We will not be haughty or proud, but, Lord, we will just lay before you and find it a pleasure to serve you, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
It was the,
was
best,
the best thing I've ever done. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Falling in love with Jesus. Was the best thing I've ever done.
Y'all pray, write them on the wall.
In his arms, I feel protected. In his arms, never disconnected. No, no. There's no place I'd rather.
You are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.